The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples in a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When we imagine some of the scenes of the gospel, we often domesticate them and take out the noise and the things that are pretty gritty or perhaps even scandalous. And even in today's gospel, when we hear that Jesus Christ is on the way with a sizable crowd, it's not a quiet scene. Imagine hundreds, thousands of people walking together. And this is like a break between the action. They're not lingering on Jesus's every word. They're traveling. So what happens? All kinds of side conversations. People are talking about whatever the ancient equivalent of sports is. Maybe what Jesus has just done. Maybe what their own thoughts and desires are. All the same kind of small talk that you and I make in between things every day of our life. All of that is going on. And you have perhaps 1,000 or more people. It is noisy as they're walking on the way. And Bartimaeus, a blind man, a man who is lacking something that would make him whole, hears that Jesus is passing by. So what does he do? Moved in his heart, he calls out for Jesus. But there's so much noise among the crowd. And what do? They tell him to be quiet. And brothers and sisters, we experience the same thing. Because in a world of 8 billion people, in a world of technology and constantly being on, there is a lot of noise. And sometimes we wonder, does God hear me in such a big world? Is God concerned with my concerns? And sometimes when we're moving towards Jesus in the life of faith, there are all kinds of people who want to tell us to be silent, to keep quiet, to stop pursuing him. Sometimes it's people in our lives who should love us, but are threatened by our growth, especially if they're not pursuing the same thing. Sometimes it's words in our culture that want to subject that part of our life to an ideology or to a service. Because brothers and sisters, it's hard to monetize someone's spiritual life. It's hard to make money off someone who no longer is spending money on things, but giving themselves and their money to charity. There's a lot of voices out there when we cry out to Jesus. And they tell us to be quiet and be silent. And some of us do. But brothers and sisters, what does Bartimaeus do? He cries out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He perseveres even amidst the noise, the chaos, the discouragements. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ hears him. For those of you that have played a sport, I played football. When you're on the field, when you're on the court, and there's a lot of noise, there's game noise, there's fan noise, there's band noise, it's hard to make out in a crowd of voices one particular voice. But Jesus hears the one particular voice of Bartimaeus. Amidst thousands of people, he hears him. And amidst 8 billion people alive today, he hears you. Because that's the kind of God that we worship. He hears you when you cry out, whether or not you feel it, whether or not you're sure he hears you, because he is intimately concerned about you. He hears you. Cuts through the noise. And finally, Jesus says, call him here. Bring him to me. This man amidst the thousands who has cried out for me while you all were occupied with other things, today I will meet this man and his life will be changed and your lives will be changed because you will see it. So he goes to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, the word by which the Father spoke all things into being. Jesus, who knows everything already. Jesus doesn't jump in and solve this man's problem. You're blind and I'm going to make you see. That's not what he does in Bartimaeus's life. It's not what he does in my life. And it's not what he does in your life. He asks a question. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks him a question because, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is fascinated by you because you are not a problem to be solved. You are a mystery to be reverenced. You are a person to be loved. So he doesn't swoop in and give answers to your life. He asks you, what do you want me to do for you? What is the longing of your heart? Where are you crying out? Where are you experiencing joy that you want to share with me? What do you want? Because brothers and sisters, all of us have longings of our heart, whether they're difficult and painful, whether they're joyful and need more deeply expressed. He wants to know what's on your heart because God is fascinated by you, often more than you are truly fascinated by yourself. And he gives you space to reveal yourself. It's the virtue of reverence. To reverence something is to step back from it and allow it to reveal itself. Reverence requires love and patience, and it doesn't impose itself upon the other. What do you want? All of us, Jesus asks, what do you want? And what is prayer ultimately? Prayer ultimately, which is just to answer that question, it's not that we're trying to change God's mind. It's that we're trying to bring him part of our heart, part of our life, and we are longing to hear him speak into it. And he will speak into it. But prayer is not to change his mind. It's to let him have a word of truth on our lives. That when we can really receive it, helps us to unite ourselves with his heart, helps us to unite ourselves with his will, helps us to understand what is the meaning of it all. Not because we're changing God, but because we are being changed in love, because we have shared our heart at his invitation. He has received our heart with great love. And as a father does, he speaks a word of healing and a word of truth into it, and it changes everything. What do you want? What do you want today? And Jesus answers, and he answers, Master, I want to see. And there's so much more than that. It's not just physical sight. It's everything in his life that has come along with not being able to be whole, not being able to provide for himself, not being able to enter into the life of the community around him, but left begging on the side of the road. Many of us are not whole in different ways. What do you want? Jesus invites the question, gets the answer, and he heals him. But then what? Jesus invites him, stand up and be on your way. Jesus now invites him, go and do what you have desired to do. Now that I have spoken a word of truth on your life, a word of healing on your life, you are whole. What do you desire now? What will you do that this thing that seemed always out of reach is in reach? Will he go his own way, do his own thing? Will he be like the lepers that were cleansed and did not go back to Jesus? No. What does it say? Immediately, he stood up and he followed Jesus. His way is Jesus's way. Where Jesus goes now, he will go. He could do anything now that his prayer has been answered. But he clings to the one who saved him. Brothers and sisters, for all of us, we should spend some time today, this week, praying with this gospel, entering into this gospel. You are Bartimaeus, and Jesus hears you in the crowd, and he asks you, what do you want of me? Brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful invitation to prayer. and I continue to hold it up, the good old Catholic pirate prayer, the R, acknowledge. What's going on within me? Do I possess myself? Do I know the things on my mind, my thoughts, my feelings, and desires? Do I acknowledge that to myself? Do I relate that in conversation to someone that loves me, to Jesus Christ? Here's my thoughts, my feelings, my desires. Here's even the parts of myself I'm a little ashamed of. Here's the longing of my heart that maybe I think won't actually fulfill me. Whatever it is, I've acknowledged it in myself. I've related it to Jesus. I give him time to speak into my life, and I receive his word of truth, his word of healing. I let it love me into being so that I desire what he desires. And then I respond out of that time of prayer. Now that Jesus has healed me and told me to go on my way, what is my way? And is it different on the other side of meeting the Lord? Is it different on the other side of being made whole? And now is my way following his way? Brothers and sisters, simple invitation. This gospel is so packed with how to pray, so packed with how you and I should live. Brothers and sisters, we were made for more than we're often getting. So simple invitation, spend some time today in this week with this gospel in the ways that we've broken it open, because it is a primer on prayer, and all of us could learn to pray a little more deeply.